Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. You can hear the show every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon Central. And there are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. 37 past the hour here at Faith Radio. It's Mother's Day weekend, a time to celebrate your mom and maybe give her a break from housework. Guys, hint, hint. Why at Mother's Day weekend, why are so many moms feeling frustrated and stressed out and at the end of their rope? Joining us to provide moms with some hope and some encouragement is Jill Savage. She is the founder and the executive director of the Hearts at Home Ministry. Good morning, Jill. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well and looking forward to Mother's Day. Hopefully I'll do it right. There is so much pressure these days, Jill, on women to be the perfect mom. And you see it everywhere. You see it in the media, in books, magazines, Pinterest. Do you suppose moms felt this kind of pressure, let's say back when our great grandmothers were raising their kids?
No, I don't think so at all. I really don't think so. I think part of it is that we have a lot of access to each other's lives, and particularly through social media, which I think is very good. It has its benefits. I absolutely love that I can access the ideas of other moms. I can learn from them. But at the same time, I am always faced with seeing what they're doing well and feeling like I'm not measuring up. And so, you know, 50 years ago, you'd say, you know, well, we got to keep up with the Joneses. And you would see the Joneses once a week at church on Sunday. Well, now you see the Joneses 10 times a day when you're on Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest. And so it's really important that we recognize that we have more access to each other's lives. And so we're going to naturally increase our comparison. And it's really dangerous for us to do.
Seems like every mom finds herself doing this, comparing herself to other moms, whether it's how she decorates her home, how she parents her kids, how fit she is. You name it. So why, if we know how this makes us feel, why do we continue to do it? Because it's making moms feel frustrated and maybe even depressed, but they do it anyway.
Well, I think particularly for women, I think that we have a natural desire to do what we're doing well. Like we are naturally learners. It's so interesting. My husband and I were in church ministry for many years, and you go to, you offer like a marriage conference. Well, it's the women who all want to sign up, and they oftentimes have to drag some of their husbands along. And so I think women naturally just want to learn. We want to do what we're doing well. So the pursuit of excellence, I think that is totally fine. The problem is, we trip over from excellence into perfection and don't even realize it. We set up unrealistic expectations of ourselves. We set up unrealistic expectations of others as well. And then we unfairly compare ourselves to others. And that's what I call the perfection infection. It's that the unrealistic expectation mixed with unfair comparisons that causes us to constantly feel disappointed, discouraged, even disillusioned, because we can't seem to match what's real life with what we have in our head that we want to happen.
Now, you developed this in your book, No More Perfect Moms, this perfection infection idea. So how can a mom cure herself? How did she take psychological antibiotics to get rid of this infection?
Well, that's exactly what we talk about. We actually talk about an antidote, or the antidotes to the perfection infection. And so these are what I call our powerful God tools. And they are grace. We have to learn to give ourselves grace to allow ourselves to be human. They are love. We have to learn how to love ourselves and love others in a way that that allows us to love ourselves in spite of our imperfections. We have to learn how have humility. We use our God tool of humility to admit that life isn't perfect, that to admit that life is maybe I made a mistake and I need to apologize for that mistake. Another antidote is courage. I think that we all need to do our part to rid our entire world of the perfection infection and those around us by sharing more honestly with one another. So I encourage moms, go ahead, snap that picture of your real living room when you can't find the floor, you know, snap that picture of your kid's bedroom when you absolutely every toy is pulled out and post that on Facebook, because the more we can share real life, the more we can do our part to rid ourselves and to rid our culture of this perfection infection.
I'm thinking of one of the things you talked about that's so critical, and that's grace and recognizing, of course, God extends so much grace and mercy to us. But what about the mom? What about the mom, Jill, who grew up in a home where her mom and maybe her dad did not show much grace to her? And so she's got this little voice in the back of her head saying, you're never enough. This house looks like a mess. Your kids are a wreck. What are you doing? And it's just this kind of condemning voice that she's continues to hear this rewind, this replay in her mind. What does she do?
Well, the probably the biggest step, and we often, you know, we often interpret who God is based upon who our parents were or are. And I think that, you know, that the most important thing that she can do is become, you know, determined to go on a search for who God really is. Because if she's imposing that experience that she had with her parents, her mother or her father or both, and then imposing that and thinking, well, that's who God is, that's not who he is. He expresses incredible unconditional love to us. He shows us grace, which is mercy that we don't deserve. And so that I would say to her, go on an expedition in your Bible. Go on an expedition to begin to learn who God really is and understand that. Because when you could receive his grace, his love, his mercy, then you can begin to give it to yourself. And I think that is one of the most beautiful gifts you could give yourself on Mother's Day.
We're talking to Jill Savage. She is the founder of the Hearts at Home Ministry, one of her books called No More Perfect Moms. It's 44 past the hour, and this is Faith Radio.
Relevant Bible preaching, family-focused teaching. Faith 90.7, AM 900.
Well, good morning. Welcome to a Friday. So great to have you with us here on the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer. My guest is Jill Savage. Jill is the founder, executive director of the Hearts at Home Ministry. And she wrote a great book a couple years back called No More Perfect Moms. And Jill, in this book, you were very vulnerable. In fact, I think you said it's your most personal book to date. Can you tell us what you shared with your readers?
Well, I was. My life was definitely not perfect and never has been. And, you know, I really felt like if I'm going to call women to authenticity, I have to do it myself. And so I had been going through a very rough time with one of my husband and I had gone through a rough time with one of our children who has struggled with mental health issues, had actually tried to take his life on a couple of occasions. That was something we were living out. And so I talked about that very openly in the book. My husband was going through the deepest, darkest depression he had ever experienced and went through a very deep midlife crisis. And I shared openly about that. And since then, he and I have shared even more openly because during that time, he was unfaithful. And we've really seen God redeem that broken place in our life and share that very openly now on my blog at jillsavage.org. And then we also, I was going through cancer and I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So shared very openly about some of the difficulties in my life, and wanted moms to know that, you know, even though somebody maybe looks like, you know, they're an author, they're a speaker, they're a leader, and we often think, oh, their life is together, they wouldn't understand my life. And the truth is, we all have struggles. We all have broken places in our world, and we need to share them more honestly.
I'm guessing that when you shared that, when you started to share those things, the floodgates opened, and that there were so many moms that came out of the woodwork and said, thank you for sharing this. I'm going through something similar.
You know, Bill, I'm so glad you said that, because I think that we tell ourselves, oh, if I'm honest with people, they won't want to be a friend with me, or they'll think less of me. And I certainly thought that in the beginning, you know, way back 20 years ago when I was, you know, first starting to explore this whole authenticity thing in my personal circles. But I have found exactly the opposite. I have found that that people are drawn to honesty. I have found that they appreciate authenticity. And you're right. The floodgates have opened. My husband and I have found ourselves in almost a secondary ministry of helping couples overcome infidelity. We have an entire section on our website. It's called No More Perfect Marriages blog series that we actually are where we outline what happened and how we recovered from that. And we're writing a book, No More Perfect Marriages, right now. And just finding ourselves in this opportunity to help others with their imperfect marriages. Because you're right, people, the floodgates open, people love honesty, and they just appreciate knowing they're not alone. That's the most important piece.
It's interesting you say that, because in the psychological research, when you look at therapy, one of the most powerful things about group therapy, and maybe some of our listeners have done that before, it's not as common as it used to be, but they found that in group therapy, that being in this, realizing you're in the same boat with others, that others have had similar experiences and similar struggles, is so freeing. And you realize, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one who's, let's say, depressed. I'm not the only one who has this anxiety. I'm not the only one, as in your case, who has had marital struggles. And all of a sudden, you're able to go, this frees me. This frees me to be open and honest and vulnerable. And then that's when healing starts. And that's what we see scripturally as well, right? When we're vulnerable and honest with God, when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us.
Yes, absolutely. And you're right. There is something very powerful in just the simple two words, me too. Me too. Those are powerful, powerful words. And we really need to call one another to more honest conversations. And honestly, we can start that if we model that. You know, I learned it for the first time years ago when I was leading just a small mom's group, and our marriage was going through some of its early challenges, and we decided to seek marriage counseling. But we were coming up on a study we were doing, and I was leading it, and that particular week it was on marriage. And I thought, what am I going to do? How am I going to lead this study on marriage when we just started marriage counseling? And so my husband and I talked about it, and I had never been that vulnerable before. And I thought, you know, we agreed on what we were comfortable sharing. And I said, you know, we just started going to counseling, and I really thought they're going to ask me to step down. They're going to think less of me. And I'm telling you, my phone rang off the hook. It was craziness after that, with just our little small group. I think that afternoon I had 4 or 5 women out of 25 call me and say, thank you for sharing that. I thought we were the only ones. And so I think when we realize we're not the only ones, it gives us hope, and it helps others know that it's possible for God to redeem those broken places. And even a reminder that sometimes if the ending doesn't turn out to be the same way that we hope it will be, because maybe both parties, particularly in a marriage setting, both parties aren't willing to make that happen, just even hope to know I can get to the other side of this.
And Jill, I know you talk about this this issue of coming alongside each other, bearing one another's burdens in your new book. It's called Better Together. You Weren't Meant to Mom Alone. You joined Susie Larson, talked about that earlier this week. But for our listeners that didn't hear the program, just if you can, we've got about a minute left. Tell us what that book, what the theme is about, which it sounds like the title is pretty clear. You Weren't Meant to Be Alone.
Right. Well, it is a book I actually co-authored with my daughter, my oldest daughter, who is a mom of two. We wanted to create a resource that was for younger moms as well as older moms that would help them to build their mom tribe. Because we're not meant to do this life alone. I mean, Jesus modeled that. He did life in community. And so we wanted moms to know why they need a mom tribe, how to find a mom tribe, how to build a mom tribe, and then how to nurture that mom tribe so that they are doing life with one another. Because we believe that we mom better when we mom together.
And you know what? As you were saying that, I can't help but think one of the moms, the types of moms that can use this the most is single moms, because they don't have that spouse to support them. And man, oh man, that's the hardest job in the world. And boy, if you're a single mom listening right now, this is your wake up call, right?
Yep, absolutely. I agree. In fact, I use a couple of examples in the book of some single moms that inspired me in the way that they found community with each other and took care of one another. So, yes, absolutely. We need a mom tribe. And especially single moms have got to build that, because it's not naturally built into what they're doing every day.
Hmm. Jill Savage from Hearts at Home. By the way, when is your next conference coming up?
It is coming up in October in Rochester, Minnesota. We're
cool.
Expecting 3,000 to 4,000 moms. And then we have one in Chattanooga, Tennessee as well in November. So you can find that info at heartsathome.org.
All right. Rochester, Minnesota. For all of our Upper Midwest friends, this is your opportunity to go to a wonderful conference. Thank you, Jill, for your time and for your ministry. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
56 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.